Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. How amazing would it be to wake up and think about your day, not your diet? If you want to join me today, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what's on your mind, what's weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, or any kind of compulsive eating is not food. The real problem is what's eating at you. So call me and let's talk about that. Okay, so I want to share a couple of recent blog posts that I've done for a new website called Weight Hope. And it's by the people who did Eating Disorder Hope and Addiction Hope. And it's a great site, and I think you're going to find a lot of really helpful articles on there. So I want to share one that I did. It's called Three Ways to a Better Body Image. Because, you know, it's April, people are already thinking about the summer, and when they think about the summer, they think about pools and swimsuits and bikini bodies and all of that stuff. And so we're going to talk today about body image. By the way, how do you get a bikini body? How? Put a bikini on your body. That's it. Okay, so three ways to a better body image. So many of us equate body image with self-esteem. To many people, thinner means better, and weight gain is associated with a negative perception of yourself. So challenging our definition of what a good, quote-unquote, good body is a crucial step towards a healthier attitude. And here are some ways to achieve that. So number one, get the skinny on happiness. Think skinny women are happier? This skinny equals happy formula does not add up. Losing weight is not a ticket to lasting happiness. By the way, if you have any doubt of that, one of the most profound examples is my friend Kelly Gunter, the author of You Have Such a Pretty Face, who lost 284 pounds, I think it was. And guess what? She did not get happier. Thinner does not mean you're happier. Having the number at on the scale be low does not mean your life is good. So losing weight is not the ticket to lasting happiness. It's not the ticket to confidence. It's not the ticket to just having a better life. Thin women also feel insecure and unsatisfied with their lives and appearance. And that goes for guys too. Hey, it's a good thing Oprah Winfrey didn't think the only path to success was to be thin. Oprah is successful because she's engaging, she's interested, she's authentic. That is so much better than whatever the scale says she weighs, right? And when you feel good about yourself as you're losing weight, that weight loss is more likely to be permanent, by the way. So here's some food for thought. What aspects of yourself do you appreciate? What aspects of who you are do you like and appreciate? Sometimes we get so used to just tearing ourselves apart, seeing what we don't like, seeing what we hate about ourselves, focusing on the bad, focusing on the mistakes, focusing on the things that we think we're doing wrong or we're not perfect enough, that we forget what we like about ourselves or what's likable about us. So take a moment and think about, what do you like about you? My second tip, wear clothes that make you feel good. Clothing can both reflect and affect your emotions. So there's this researcher, Karen Pine. Dr. Karen Pine specializes in, here's a unique specialty, talk about niche. She specializes in the psychology of fashion. the Psychology of Fashion, she found that 57% of women reported that when they were depressed, they wore baggy clothes. But only 2% wore baggy clothes when they were happy. And the opposite is also really interesting. Wearing clothes that make you feel good can impact your mood. There was a study, so many researchers, I can't even tell you how many people were on this study, but it was 2005. You really want to know, email me, I'll let you know. This study found that wearing nice clothes that fit make you feel more creative and make you feel better, and you are perceived by others as more successful. Really interesting. So don't wait to be a certain size to get clothes that fit. Don't wait to be a certain size. Don't wait to lose whatever weight you think you have to lose to feel stylish and happy. Wear what you like and your mood will follow. So says science. So here's my tip for that. Buy clothes that fit and make you feel your best. You know, interestingly, like last year, I think it was, someone who's a member of my online program, Kick the Diet Habit program, she wrote in our Facebook page that she had decided that every day, part of why she felt bad and felt, as she put it, the F word, fat, the word we don't use, that's the F word, that she felt like bad about her body was because her clothes were too tight and she was constantly aware of her body and constantly aware of feeling literally uncomfortable. And so she just decided she couldn't wait to lose weight to get clothes that fit her better, or she couldn't wait to lose weight so that those clothes would fit her better. She just decided to go out and get a few things that fit her well. And she said she didn't spend a lot of money. I think she went to Target. And she just got a few outfits, and she said it made such a difference that just wearing things that she felt good in made her feel better, and she noticed that her binging decreased because she felt better. So she wasn't binging to escape herself or comfort herself or soothe herself. So it's so important. It seems like such a basic kind of maybe even superficial thing, but no, there is a psychology of fashion, a psychology of clothes. And when your clothes fit and you feel good in them, you're going to feel like you have a better fit in your life. Okay, third tip, practice body image positivity. Consider what determines the standards. What determines the standards for an attractive body? And by the way, this is totally subjective. In the era of Rubens and Titian, that's how you say it, right? Titian? I think so. Being voluptuous, that was the preferred body type. That was what women wanted. They just wanted to have all kinds of rolls and curves and, you know, all of that. And it was considered sexy and beautiful. And just go to any museum and you will see those Rubens women and you will know what I mean. And by today's standards, 2019, we would consider Marilyn Monroe to be plus size. That's crazy, right? Marilyn Monroe, who in the, 50s and 60s, was considered the most beautiful, sexy woman on earth, we would now consider to be plus size. That is crazy, right? Here's what that is. Yeah, that's just bad. That's just wrong. So the point is, body image is highly subjective. So here's what to do to practice body image positivity. Find something you like about your body. About your body, yes. Something you like about your body. I can hear you thinking, oh, there's nothing I like about my body. I hate my body. I hate everything about my body. That's why I want to change my body. No, find something you like about your body. Maybe it's your eyes. Maybe it's your hair. Maybe it's your strong legs. Maybe it's your fingers. Maybe it's, I don't know, the shape of your feet. Something. When you feel good about your body, you will feel good. So feeling positive, feeling good about yourself physically also makes you less likely to eat for comfort. And the more that you focus on what you like, the more you see it. Like you can, if you stand in front of a mirror, most people will stand in front of a mirror and just pick apart the parts they hate. think about going into a dressing room, you know, to try on clothes, and you're in that dressing room and it's horrible lighting and you're just like, ah, no. And you just see what you don't like. But if you focus on what you do like, your mind gets in the habit of focusing and seeing what you do like. So you can look, woo, there's a, hold that thought. Hi there, caller, you're on with Dr. Nina.
Hi, Dr. Nina, it's Nicole, how are you?
Hi, Nicole, how are you?
Well, we missed you last week.
I know, I've been gone from the show for a bit, and it's really good to be back.
Happy to have you back, because I have a question.
Okay, what's your question?
Okay, well, I kind of feel like I've put on a couple pounds, like a few pounds, and I feel really, like, just bad and horrible, and I don't want to say I don't know how it happened, because I kind of do know how it happened, but I've been trying to, like, I've been uber focused on it, and I've been trying to get it off, but for some reason, it just won't come off, and I think it's because maybe I'm focusing on it too much, but, like, I can't not focus on it.
Okay.
So, like, I'm kind of just stuck, and I feel like I'm obsessing about it, and it just won't come off, and, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Okay, so I can hear that you're really upset about these couple of pounds. By the way, you said you feel like you've gained a couple of pounds. Does that mean
you actually have?
Have you been on a scale?
I won't go on the scale because I, like, obsess over this. Like, I obsess
Good.
Over numbers because, you know, I'm an accountant and everything.
Uh-huh.
So I haven't been on the scale in probably over 6 months. But I just feel it in my clothes, you know, or, like, when you sit in the car, you know, you can, I don't know, you just can tell.
Okay.
I know that I did.
Okay. And you also know that, like, slight weight gain can be affected by your cycle or by certain foods you might have eaten that might make you feel bloated.
Yeah, but it's been, like, 3 weeks now. Has it been 3 or 4 weeks? Yeah, it's been 3 or 4 weeks that I just feel like it's been on me.
Okay.
And I've done, like, I don't know if you've heard of Lindora, like,
yes,
the diet thing. I've done, like,
yes,
you know, they start their diet by doing, like, 3 days of high protein,
yes,
or just eating protein all day to get your body into ketosis, the fat burning thing. So I tried to do, like, a day of that, and I
please
it
don't
helped
do
a
that.
Little bit.
Please don't do that. Look, because it's just another diet. It's just another diet. Yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, this whole ketosis thing and the whole keto thing, you know, there's I'm going to get a lot of hate mail for this, but from the people that I know who are medical doctors and researchers say that there's really not a lot of evidence for that basically protein makes you feel fuller, and then when you feel fuller, you're less likely to overeat, and that's why people lose weight on keto. But that's a whole other thing. Let me ask you something,
okay,
because we can look at this as a couple pounds literally, or we can look at it symbolically. So what happened? You said it's been 3 or 4 weeks. What happened 3 or 4 weeks ago? What happened 3 or 4 weeks ago?
My sister came back from a trip, and she got the stomach flu when she was away. I'm very competitive with my sister.
And lost weight.
And she got the stomach flu, and she lost weight. So I think that I, like, started beating myself about it and, like, maybe started to become competitive with her. I don't know. And I was also anxious that she was coming back. And then, I don't know, what else happened 3 or 4 weeks ago?
Well, that's enough. Yeah, that's enough.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But given a moment, is there something else you can think of that might have been going on 3 or 4 weeks ago, a month ago?
I don't know, not really. Just kind of, like, you know, dating a lot and, like, I guess just becoming a little frustrated that, like, no one... that, like, it's not working with anybody.
Can I just share something? I dated
sure.
100 guys before I met my husband. 100.
Wow.
It's not easy.
I think I'm there. I think I've dated 100, Dr. Nina. I think the next one has to be my husband.
Okay. So, all right.
I'm right there with you.
You're right there. Okay. He's He's going to be there any time, but he has to be right for you, not you right for him.
I know.
Okay, so another question is, so we have the piece of it that is you're competitive with your sister. What does it mean to you that your sister lost weight? What is the meaning?
I don't know. I guess it's just kind of threatening because I always want to be the best and I always want to look the best. And if someone is like getting close to where I'm at, like I'm still thinner than she is, but like why do I feel so freaking threatened by it? I don't know.
I think it's just said it. Like somehow you've privileged being thinner than your sister as being better than your sister.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that puts a lot of, pardon the expression, that puts a lot of weight on your weight. As if you know, somehow you're a better person if you're thinner.
Yeah.
So, and maybe there's some sibling rivalry that this is how you, like you said, you're competitive. So obviously there is some kind of rivalry going on. Is this, by the way, younger sister or older sister?
Younger, 3 years younger. And like my whole family is obsessed about weight, by the way. Like my mom takes like Venture Me and like she just ordered Sensa. She orders every single like diet pill and like it's so sick. Like it's so bad. Like my whole family is obsessed with weight. Like,
yes.
I'm not even going to tell you what other people in my family have done. And none of us are really fat, by the way.
No, that it has nothing to do with weight. It has to do
crazy.
It's serving some purpose, but we're going to stick with you right now. So, all right,
let's stick with me.
She's 3 years younger, and what is your history as far as feeling like that you need to be better than she is? Is there anything you feel comfortable sharing?
Better than her? I feel like I'm just competitive in general. Like I'm competitive with not just her, but like with this competitive person. Like I want to be the best. I want to be the smartest. I want to be the most successful. I want to be the prettiest. I want to be the skinniest. I want to be like, I don't know.
Because then what? And then what?
Then I'm better.
And what is better? No. And then what happens when you're better?
I know what you're kind of getting at. I don't know. My parents will be proud. I will find the best husband. What else will happen? Mm-hmm. I'll just feel good. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And then what?
I don't know. I'll be alone and no one will like me. I don't know. It's not good to be competitive. I know. It's too much.
Well, wait. If you're competitive, it's for a reason. You're trying to help yourself in some way, even though it's also not serving you well. I think what you're saying is that for you to feel good about yourself, you have to feel like you're the best. But not just you, other people. And that will make you feel good about yourself. Like you're looking to feel some sense of self or feel good about yourself or have a really stronger self-esteem by being better than other people in these areas that your family says is important.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head.
So the problem is not these 2 pounds or whatever. The problem is that you don't feel good about yourself right now as you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So right now you're trying to feel better about yourself by losing weight, but I'm here to tell you. And Kelly Gunter, if she was here, she would tell you too. She'd say losing 2 pounds or 5 pounds does not make you feel better. Losing 284 pounds did not make her feel better. It has to come from a sense of you being good enough as you are, who you are, what you do, what you weigh, how you look. Right now.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Nina. That's really helpful.
Yeah. So how...
I need to work on that.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'll help you work on that.
Okay. I need it.
All right. Let me just ask you one question.
Yeah.
What do you like about... No, I'm going to ask a different question.
Okay.
What do you think needs to change for you, not weight and not job and not all of those things? What do you think needs to be different for you to feel good about you?
Funny, the first thing I was going to say is weight. Okay. I think I'm a compassionate person, but I think I could be more compassionate to certain people in my life. Like, I could be more compassionate to my sister and be less competitive with her.
How about compassionate to yourself? Hold on.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Okay.
Let's turn that compassion first on you.
Yeah. Okay. Compassion for myself.
What does that look like?
Just being more gentle with myself, not so hard on myself, not expecting, like,
give me something specific. Let's get nitty gritty here.
Okay. I'm getting specific about how I could be more compassionate and be more gentle.
Yes. What can you say to yourself when you will have this thought, oh my God, I have to lose these 3 or 5 pounds. I can't stand them. And then you will remember your voice of compassion and you will say what to yourself?
I am beautiful. I am a kind human. And I love myself just the way I am.
Do you believe
that?
That
feels like a lie.
Do you believe?
No.
Yeah, you don't believe. You can only say what you believe. So, because here's the thing about mantras. Here's why mantras don't work. If you don't feel good about yourself, if you don't feel beautiful, you can stand in front of a mirror and say, you are beautiful. 100,000 million times, and you won't you won't feel any more beautiful.
Right.
So what is? But we could. But that's a whole other topic. But what can you say to yourself that you believe? Can you say?
I don't know what to say. Okay. I don't know if I believe anything.
How about start simple? I am doing the best I can. I am doing the best I can. Right now, given my circumstances, I am doing my best.
I love that. I'm writing it down. I am doing the best I can right now.
Yeah.
Given my circumstances. Okay. I love it.
Okay. So
that I believe.
Okay. I hear that. Yes. Good.
Okay.
So that is what, when you start berating yourself and beating yourself up and focusing on weight and focusing on food and all of that stuff, I want you to just remember that voice of compassion and tell yourself, I'm doing the best I can given my circumstances. In that tone, by the way, because if you say to yourself, I'm doing the best I can given my circumstances, that's not going to help.
Okay.
So nice, soft, gentle, compassionate tone.
Okay. I will do that.
Okay.
And then how do I get these last few pounds off? You think it'll just... I think once I stop uber focusing on it, it'll just come off.
We're not going to focus on that. We're going to just focus on your feeling, not your body. Your body is distracting you from you. I know you want to lose those pounds, but you're not going to lose them. Or if you lose them by dieting, guess what? You're going to gain them back. You're just going to gain them back.
Okay.
So
okay.
When you create a more nurturing, compassionate, supportive, soothing stance with yourself, you're not going to use food for comfort, period.
Right.
And that's how you're going to lose those 2 pounds or whatever.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Nina.
You are very welcome. Call me back next week and let me know how it goes, and we'll talk more about how self-compassion is the key to changing all of this.
Okay, thanks a lot. Talk soon.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Whoop. Sorry, Nicole, I just kind of cut you off. Didn't mean to do that. Okay, so for Nicole and everyone out there, you know, if you're hard on yourself, you try saying that to yourself. I'm doing the best I can, given my circumstances. I am doing my best. I am doing my best. And that kind of goes with what I was just talking about with, you know, practicing body image positivity, finding things about yourself and your body that you like and appreciate. The more you focus on that, the less you're going to focus on what you don't like. And I am talking about what you actually do like, because like I said, these mantras do not work. If you don't feel beautiful, telling yourself you're beautiful a thousand times will not do anything but frustrate you. You'll be like, why can't this mantra work? I've told myself that I'm supposed to feel beautiful and I don't feel beautiful. I mean, and I'm talking about inner or outer beauty. So no mantras, just tell yourself, see what you like. There's something that you like. And by the way, if you need a little help, talk to a friend of yours or someone who loves you, who you trust, and ask them what they like about you. Ask them what they like about you. It's scary to do, but you might be pleasantly surprised and it'll help you out. Because look, here is the thing. We do not gain self-worth by losing weight. And by changing your perspective and your attitude towards your internal self and your body, you will feel better about yourself and about your body as you take healthy steps towards weight loss or to stop binging, to stop stress eating, all of that. Oh, there's another. I know who this is. Hi, Nick. Welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. Good to be back. I'll tell you, this is a good call. And things I've complained a long time with a family member that I had.
And
nothing, you know, it was really a bad relationship. It's been going on for a couple of years. But out of nowhere, last week, and not out of nowhere, after doing things like blocking the bone and this and that, and all those things that we said should work with this. And he called me and he said, I'd like to take you and Chris to dinner for your birthday.
Wow. This is the nasty son who was hateful and horrible and antagonistic and dreadful towards you. And you just for people who may be new to the show, we talked about setting boundaries. So setting boundaries with the son, because Nick, you were eating ice cream to comfort yourself for the situation. Once you set boundaries and refused to just engage with him in any way, you stopped eating ice cream for comfort, and now it seems like the son has kind of maybe started to respect your boundaries. So tell us.
Well, it just, the dinner went great. We had went to a great restaurant and we ate and we laughed, and it was just like I sent him a text saying it's just like the old times, and he called me back and said, I think so. I love you, Dad.
So wow.
That changed the whole thing. And it's funny. He always had a problem with me that I couldn't get to his hockey games because it was a slap from where I lived. But we've been looking for an apartment and found an apartment that's 5 minutes from his hockey rink. So, you know, it would really be easy to go see him play hockey because it's like right down the street. So all these things are falling into place. And we're happy with the apartment. Chris is real happy about the apartment, the things that it has. And it's positive. And we'll see what happens. And the other thing is with my hand, my hands have been shaking and this and that. I'm going to a neurologist to see what's going on with me. So
I'm glad you're taking care of yourself, but how are you feeling about that? How are you feeling
which
about
one, the neurologist?
Yeah.
I'm frightened about it. I really am. I don't know why. I'm afraid that what if they notice something that, see, he has his hands shake here and there, and the doctor says, well, I don't feel comfortable with you driving. and having my driving taking my driver's license away, and that's kind of in the back of my mind.
That is very scary. That is a very scary proposition. Yeah.
And so I'm just going to be upfront with the doctor once I go there, and so on and so forth. But I'll do whatever I have to. Hopefully, I don't even have that problem to worry about. So, so another week is when I'm going over to see the doctor, and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
So,
well,
A
lot of good things. I just want to say one thing about this fear, which is that you're going, "What if?" Which is fear, and you're thinking like this worst case scenario where they're going to take your driver's license away, and that would be catastrophic. And although now we live in the world of Lyft and Uber, so
it might be nice
to have people drive you around. But before we get to the making, lemonade out of lemons, we don't know that there are lemons. So when you say, "Well, what if this happens?" What if is fear about the future? What if is fear, and then what happens is that you think, "Oh, what if this happens?" And then what do I do? And da 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 da, and then you're having real time anxiety about something that may or may not happen. So you have a whole week until you go to see the neurologist.
Right.
Really important to stay with what is. The antidote to what if is what is. And what is reality. And reality is all that you know is that your hand is shaking. It's all you know.
Right.
Right? You said that, your hand is shaking. So that is all you know. There could be many, many reasons for that. There are medications that cause those kind of trembling. There are diseases or whatever, but there are also other reasons. So just stay with, all you know is that. Your hand is shaking, period. That's it. That's all you know. And you can drive now and just stay with that. So you don't scare yourself and feel anxious.
If it's not one thing, it's another.
Ain't it the truth, Nick?
Man, it is the truth.
But you
thank
can.
You.
But you're dealing with it. And wait, I'm going to say one other thing to you. A lot of times people call the show, you call the show, and it's because you're upset about something, or you don't know how to handle something, or you feel bad about yourself because you're eating ice cream or whatever. I want you to also take a moment to appreciate yourself. When you first started calling the show, I don't know, was it when I, like 2 years ago, you couldn't talk about any of this stuff. So now I think you're proud of yourself. That's what I'm hearing. Can you just talk a little bit about that? You've created something different. You stuck to your guns about the apartment. You stuck to your guns about the son. He's coming around. I'm proud of you. Talk to me about how proud you are of you.
Well, I think I really feel great about the relationship I'm working with on my son. That's really important to me. And these other things, maybe I worry about things when I don't need to worry about things.
Look how fast you went from feeling good about yourself to, look at how anxious I get. I want you to just stay with feeling good about you.
Good about me.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. I'm a compassionate person. I really feel that the 2 years I've called, I've done so much. I mean, from my mother passing away to that family, and now here with Ryan and so on, I really feel good about it, that I'm doing something about it, and I'm thinking about it. And I just feel good at myself. And I love the call. This call really makes me feel good. I hang up after the call, and, it's like a breath I take. I say, gee, that was great that happened. I needed that.
Got to tell you, Nick, I'm sort of tearing up here. Tears are coming into my eyes as I'm listening to you. I find that very moving. Yeah. I'm glad that you're acknowledging yourself, because, you know, it takes courage. It takes guts to call an international radio show and talk about things that are painful to talk about. And it's a lot easier to focus on ice cream and what you're eating and whether you're walking or not walking than it is to talk about disappointment and fears with people, or being upset with people, or having feelings you don't want to have. And yet you did that. You've been so courageous, you and everybody who calls, but you in particular, steadily for 2 years. So I just really want to acknowledge you for that. It takes a lot to look at what you don't want to look at.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. So I want you to practice this between now and next week. I want you to practice sort of, you know, thinking, being proud of yourself, thinking about how resourceful you are, how tenacious you are. Think about that. And if you don't, call me back. I'll remind you. Call me anyway. Let me know what's going on.
I'll find you somehow. I will find you.
It's not a Wednesday morning without a call from Nick and Nicole. So, and anyone else is welcome to call too. But this is a lovely call to get, and I'm really happy for you, and I'll be thinking of you. When is your neurologist appointment?
I'll find out today, but it's a week away. Insurance, they don't do their thing. So everything's right. They're just waiting for one doctor to approve it, and he already did to me, so it's fine. In a week,
okay.
I'm figuring.
Okay, well, let me know how it goes. I'll talk to you next
course.
Week.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Gosh. You know, change is possible. As you know, I think Nick is probably, you know, not a youngster. He's got a grown son and everything, and yet he's changing his relationship to his life. It's never too late. It's never, ever, ever too late to change your relationship to yourself and the world. And I remember once I met I didn't actually formally meet her, but I saw her speak, this incredible psychoanalyst named Hedda Bulger, who at the time, she was 98 years old when I saw her speak. And she was introduced, the person who introduced her said, Hedda Bulger escaped Nazi Germany when Freud marched into Paris. Like, she totally messed up the introduction. And Hedda Bulger looked at her and said, my dear, if Freud had marched into Paris, I would never have left. And I thought, wait a minute, she escaped Nazi Germany? Like, was she an infant? Like, what's happening here? Well, it turns out that she was 98 years old, and she had to escape Nazi Germany when Hitler marched into Paris. But she was, and she had been an analyst, you know, since all her life, and knew Freud and knew all these people. I mean, incredible. She, at the time, was 97, 98. I think she was about to be 98 or something. And she said that she had just started doing analytic work with two patients in their late 80s. Okay? And she said, it's never too late to feel better about yourself. It's never too late to change your life. By the way, Hedda Bulger worked until 2 weeks before she passed away at the age of 103. So, what a woman. Okay, how much time do we have? I have enough time to go to my next blog article, but I want to invite anyone else who wants to call 818-602-4929. Let me know what's going on in your life, and let's see how that is related to what's going on with food. 818-602-4929. Okay, and this goes to comforting yourself, because my next blog article that I'm going to read to you, 3 ways to comfort yourself. So a patient of mine once asked, why food? Now in the blog article I write, why can't I comfort myself with bubble baths, she said. However, that's not actually what she said. She said, why can't I be addicted to meth? At least I'd be skinny. Yes, that is what she said. Unfortunately, unbelievably, she would rather be addicted to meth than use food for comfort. But I get it, because it's torture. It's torture. You can give up meth, can't give up food. So food is connected with our first experience of comfort. As babies, we are held in loving, safe arms while we're being fed. That is, ideally. Ideally, we're held in loving, safe arms while we're being fed. And our minds learn to connect feeding with soothing. And there are a lot of studies that confirm we associate eating with a sense of comfort and ease. Here's how to do that without food. Okay, first, choose comfort words. Now imagine you make a mistake at work and your boss chastises you. Many of us think something along the lines of, oh my God, I can't believe I messed up like that. I am such an idiot. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I made that mistake. Oh my God, this is awful. People are going to think bad things of me. Well, I don't think I need to go any further. You know how that goes. When you're hard on yourself like that, guess what? You're going to feel bad. Actually, let's specify the kind of bad you're going to feel. You're going to feel shame, which is feeling bad about yourself. Feeling guilt is bad about something you did or didn't do. Like, oh, I should have done that. I feel guilty. Or I shouldn't have done that. I feel guilty. Shame is, I shouldn't have done that and I feel bad about myself. I should do that, and because I haven't, I feel bad about myself. So shame is much worse than guilt. Makes you vulnerable to eating for comfort. So what do you do instead? Say to yourself, which is what you might say to somebody else, it's hard to make a mistake. It's hard when mistakes happen, but that mistake doesn't reflect on me as a person. I'm gonna learn from this so it doesn't happen again. Now that response is reasonable, it is encouraging, and encouragement leads to understanding. It creates hope. It creates a sense of well-being. And guess what? You feel better. You don't beat yourself up. Then you don't go to the kitchen for some comfort eating. The nicer we are to ourselves, the better we feel. Second thing to do is take care with your tone. We all have tough days. Believe me, we all have tough days. No matter how much we weigh, we have tough days. And the way we talk to ourselves impacts the way we feel, which in turn affects how we eat. So the same words can feel very different depending on your tone. So think of asking yourself, what do I need right now? So a warm, caring, interested tone feels good. It sounds like this. What do I need right now? In contrast, a cold, exasperated tone makes you feel bad. That sounds like this. What do I need right now? In fact, I've talked about this on the show. I once had a patient who said, I tried talking to myself and it did not work at all. I don't know why you want me to talk to myself. Does nothing. So I said, well, what did you say to yourself and how did you say it? And she said, like, you know, I told myself, you're fine. It's okay, you know, everything's gonna be fine. It wasn't exactly that, but that's close enough. And that's how she said it. Instead of, you're fine, everything's gonna be okay, it's gonna be all right. Tone is essential. A soothing tone can feel like a verbal hug. Also, talk to yourself as you would talk to someone you care deeply about. By saying no to criticism and yes to comforting words, you're going to feel relaxed and reassured. And when you feel good again, you're less likely to use food to soothe yourself. Third thing to do, be a friend to yourself. Okay, use your imagination. Imagine this. Imagine a friend told you that she ate too much pizza and she felt really bad. She says, oh my God, I went to pizza. I told myself I was going to have one piece, maybe two. And then I had like half the pizza. I hate myself. I'm so embarrassed. I'm going to gain 1,000 pounds. Oh, I hate myself. It is unlikely that you would say something like, I can't believe you scarfed down that half pizza. You are such a loser. You're never going to lose weight. Oh my God, what's wrong with you? Right? I don't think you're going to say that. You wouldn't say that to a friend. Except maybe you would say that to yourself. How do I know this? I am not psychic, but I have heard many, many people tell me how they talk to themselves. And I recall how I used to talk to myself, by the way, when I was struggling with this. It's a mean, mean voice. So maybe you would say to a friend, don't be so hard on yourself. Maybe you'd say, hey, you know, we all sometimes overeat, or what are your thoughts about the pizza? Do you think it was just like you were starving and you ate too much pizza, or you think something emotional was going on, or like what's going on? You'd be curious, not critical. So bottom line, if you wouldn't say something to a friend or a child, do not say it to yourself. Talk to yourself as you would talk to someone you care about. By saying no to criticism and yes to loving support of yourself, and that means compassion. Nicole, are you listening? That means compassion. This whole how to comfort yourself, that's for you and everyone else out there who can relate. By saying no to criticism and yes to curiosity and loving support, you will comfort yourself with words. And when that happens, you will not use food for comfort. Make sense, right? So we only have a few more minutes today. So if you want to call, please, you know, please wait for next week, and we're going to be talking more about this. But I just want to say, look, it really is possible to free yourself from a lifetime of dieting and see results. A lot of people are afraid to stop dieting. I get a lot of messages on Facebook and Instagram and emails, and they're like, look, you know what, you're anti-diet, but if I stop dieting, I'm just gonna gain weight. Like that's just the reality. I'm just gonna gain weight. I can't stop dieting. So I just wanna give you some hope, because I'm gonna talk more about why dieting doesn't work, but I'm going to give you an example of my patient who I'm going to call Alyssa. Again, when I talk about people, all their names have been changed. And she was skeptical about my approach, which was different than anything she had ever done before. She'd been on, you know, every diet there was. She'd taken like shots and stuff. She'd done all kinds of things. And in our initial consultation, she said she tried everything, every diet, every workout, everything short of surgery. And she figured she had nothing left to lose by giving my non-dieting approach a try. And basically, she said, I feel so stuck, is how she put it. She said every other part of her life was pretty good, but her binge eating kept getting worse. She couldn't believe how much weight she'd gained. And she said, How do I get over this terrible eating problem, she said. So what I said to her and what I'm going to say to you is that she did not have an eating problem. There's no such thing as an eating problem. Diets, weight loss diets, focus on what you're eating, not why. Diets don't address the underlying reasons you turn to food in the first place. So imagine you have a garden in your backyard, and every day you visit that garden and see weeds have popped up among your beautiful plants, your flowers, your roses. You pull out the weeds, but what happens when you don't get to the roots? Your garden looks great for a little while, and then the weeds grow back. You've got to start all over. Diets are like weeds. So it's likely you've pulled out weed after weed after weed to resolve your weight problem. And, you know, as you can see when people call me, the problem is not food. The problem is what's eating at them. And for a while, you know, diets work. You lose weight, you start to feel better, and then you find yourself right back where you started. And, you know, the thing is, you can't solve a problem you can't see. And the problem is often deeply rooted. It's out of your awareness. You're not aware of it, but it is affecting you. And that's what I'm here to help you do, some emotional gardening to get to those roots and figure out exactly what's going on, what the real problem is. It's not an eating problem. Eating is a solution to the problem. I'm here to help you get to the real, true rooted problem so that you can yank it out, dig it out for good and be done with this problem forever. It really is possible. I just want to give you hope. So thanks for joining me today on the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. I am so glad to spend this hour with you. And if you like the show, please take a moment to write a review on Apple Podcasts or on wherever you listen to podcasts, because the show is turned into a podcast called The Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. How about that? So thank you so much, and I will see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.